Good morning. Welcome to our services this morning. Special welcome to guests who've come our way. We appreciate you being with us today. Nancy and I have enjoyed a good holiday in Washington with our kids and grandkids, and they're old enough for me to spoil them a little bit now, so that's a fun thing, and glad to be back with you as we worship the Lord this morning. This morning I'd like to share with you, it's a serious lesson, I believe it's a needed lesson, particularly in our culture. It's called Bucking a Trend, and you'll see what I'm talking about in just a few moments. It's a time of the year we think about New Year's resolutions. We think about what's going to change for this new year, a new year that God has granted us. There are many good spiritual resolutions to consider for 2019, whether that be reading through Scripture, more time in prayer, meditation, more service in the Lord's kingdom, or in worship. But here's the sad reality. We live in a world that's not Christian anymore, if it ever was. It wasn't totally Christian, I know, but there was a veneer to Christian culture. That veneer of Christianity is slipping away very quickly in our society. It's a different world than it used to be. And that brings challenges for us as Christians, doesn't it? Sometimes, you know, we have to tell our kids over and over again, just because everybody else is doing it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because everybody else is getting drunk doesn't mean you have to. Just because no one else wants to be a virgin doesn't mean you can't stay a virgin until you're married. All of these moral lessons, because you know, you tell your kids, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that you're doing it, because you're not everybody, you're somebody. And because you're somebody in God's eyes, you're not going to follow the rest of the crowd. You have a different standard. You march to a beat of a different drummer. You're not just one of those proverbial lemmings that's following everybody else off the edge of the cliff, because you choose to live differently. The trend I'm talking about is a trend of church attendance in America. It is a sad reality, because fewer Americans are engaged in church services today than they were a decade ago or many years ago. Not only are fewer Americans engaged in church, many of those who are engaged in churches are significantly less active than they were a decade ago. Here's the best statistics I see today of what I know is going on in our world. Typical weekend attendance in any religious service is less than 20% of Americans. Only 25% of Americans attend a religious service three times a month, which is still a very low degree of participation. And in the Bay Area, 61% of a population doesn't go to church ever at all. Maybe for a wedding or a funeral, but that's it. No worship services. That's the world we live in. And given that less than 39% of our area is in church on a Sunday ever, very few are in churches that are actually following the biblical pattern, and very few are in churches that are worshiping regularly. So welcome to the Christian minority, folks. Welcome to the Christian minority. The question is, how are we going to react? Are we going to follow our culture, or are we going to follow the Lord? Romans chapter 12 tells us very clearly, do not conform to this pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Christians are called to buck the trend. You are in church today. And by the way, isn't it much better to be in church when you hear a sermon on church attendance than to realize that you missed the one last week that was on church attendance? You're here today. And that tells me that you're voting that this is important because you came to church, because you knew we needed the supper, we needed singing, we needed fellowship, we needed to hear the word. Maybe even we needed an announcement or two. All of these things. Our faith is a little like a bucket, but that bucket has a hole in it. And you know, we fill that bucket up on Sundays. And what happens to our bucket spiritually during the week? A little at a time, it drips out of that hole, doesn't it? Now, we fill that bucket when we read Scripture and we pray, but we also fill that bucket when we get together with other Christians, but we really fill that bucket when we come to worship, don't we? And brothers and sisters, if we don't worship regularly, what happens to that bucket is it gets real dry real fast. And then we start wondering about our faith and the work of God in our lives. The point is, our minds need to be renewed. Paul said, don't conform to the pattern of the world anymore, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need my mind renewed onto spiritual things, onto godly values, because I don't get it in the world. I need it in the church. And that's why we need together. And that's why we have to buck the trend of lowering church attendance in our country. Today I want to share with you why, as Christians, we must buck that trend that's sweeping our country. It's affecting churches of Christ as much as other religious groups. If we don't buck the trend, in a few decades, America will look like Britain does today. A very small number involved in church. A growing Islamic influence. Only a slight veneer of Christianity left in society. I don't know about you, but I don't want my children or my grandchildren growing up in a world like that, do you? You know, and I cannot change that world, but who can I change? Myself. I can change my own commitment. I can change my own values. And you, by being here this morning, have voted with your feet that church is important, that it matters, that it makes a difference in your life, that you wish to know God and to please God and be in concert with God's people. So I can't control others. I can only control myself. So your vote by being here today is that you believe the church is important and you believe that spiritual things are important. Thank you for making that vote today. Not only will your faith be fed, but you'll feed the faith of others too. Because whether you're here or absent, your friends and your family will notice, and that will tell them something about what you value. Even your neighbors that you barely know, they know you go to church on Sunday, and they see the car gone all the time or whatever. They may not register it every time, every Sunday, but once in a while they'll kind of notice those sort of things. You are voting that spiritual things matter because you are here. So rather than following the lemmings, let's choose to follow the Lord, even when that means different from our society. I bring to your attention a very familiar passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's unpack these words a little bit. These two verses go together like peanut butter and jelly in a sandwich. I don't know about you. I don't mind peanut butter and jelly. I don't usually have it real often, but occasionally I have to revert to my childhood and have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. But I do not want to like peanut butter and bread. It's too sticky. And jelly sandwich, it's just too sweet. But you put peanut butter and jelly together, and it's a good thing. Now, the rest of you are getting hungry by now. At least those that are under 12 are really salivating. But these two verses go together like peanut butter and jelly. What's the Hebrew writer saying? How are we going to spur one another on toward love and to good deeds? How are we going to increase morals, the spiritual side of our lives? Well, he answers that in the next verse, by not giving up the habit of meeting together. Don't give up on church because it builds your love. It builds your goodness, your good deeds. You're richer in your spirit because you come to church than if you don't come to church. You know, some folks in the first century were even skipping church. Can you believe that? Those first century Christians. Can you believe any of those first century Christians would skip church? Well, they must have because the Hebrew writer addressed it. He said, don't give up the habit of meeting together, as some are doing, but let us encourage one another even more as you see the day approaching. I personally think that day is speaking of the day of the return of Christ. If that be true, did you know that you're closer to the day of Christ's return now than you were last week? Do we know when Jesus is coming back? No. But you know what? If you're walking hand in hand with the Lord, if he comes Tuesday, it's fine. If he comes 100 years from Tuesday, it's fine. Doesn't matter. But there were some folks in the first century, they were getting lackadaisical about church attendance. And the Hebrew writer said, let us encourage one another even more as you see that day approaching, even more as you realize the Lord's coming is getting closer. And whether we meet the Lord at his coming or in death, it's closer than it was a week ago. Amen? That's the reality the Hebrew writer is sharing with us. Our lives are transformed. Church attendance helps us in that and helps us live differently as we look forward to that time of the Lord. You know, Christians in the first century were not perfect. They needed reminders just like we do. I can imagine some of the first century believers sitting around on Sunday and saying, you know, it's a beautiful day. Let's go to the beach. Well, let's go to see the Colosseums and see who the lions are going to be entertaining. Or let's go do some family time. Let's go to the camel races. They're always fun. Let's just sleep in. No. You see, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We still need the body. We still need the supper. We still need the singing. We still need the teaching. We still need the fellowship. We still need the encouragement. We still need the prayer. The King James Version reads in our passage of Hebrews 10, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some. Christians are not to be AWOL. You know what it is to be AWOL? Absent without leave. You know that military term, right? Okay, you've got to leave. You can go home. You're on vacation for a while, but you've got to report back to your commanding officer by a certain time. If you don't get there by a certain time, you're AWOL. You're absent without leave. Don't be an AWOL Christian. Be in church. Be a part of the body of Christ, as you are this morning. I'm just trying to encourage you to do exactly what you did this morning. Get up and come to church. Be a part of the Lord's body. I tell folks we need to be as serious about our spirits as our minds. When I was growing up, I did not get to skip school. I did not get up, wake up on Monday morning and go, Mom, you know, I just really don't feel like going to school today. You know what Mom would say? Get up anyway. You're going to school. You see, we need to take our spiritual education just as seriously as we do our mental education in school. The church is also a little bit about like a campfire. We've talked about this before. You know how you put logs in the fire and the fire blazes up around the logs? You take one log off and set it to the side, and after an hour or so, the embers grow dim, and then the fire eventually goes out. But if you put that burned log, charred log, back in the fire, what happens? After a few minutes, the fire begins to blaze. And that's exactly what happens to our faith. Because during the week, our log is taken out of the fire. We're not together with other Christians, most of us, during the week that much. Maybe our families, maybe a few friends. But we're basically with those who are not believers during the week. And what happens? Our faith grows a little dim. We got to put that log back in the fire, brothers and sisters. That's why we come to church. I bet you've had the experience that I've had, though. Have you ever come to church depressed? Have you ever come to church angry? Have you ever come to church bored? Have you ever come to church just feeling so empty? I've had all of those feelings. And it's really easy to say, no, I'm going to skip church today because I don't feel like going. Let me tell you something. You can work your way into a better way of acting sooner than you can think your way into a better way of acting. In other words, when you do right, the feelings follow. So when you get up and go ahead and go to church, over that period of time of worship and fellowship, I think you'll find your anger's gone down, your depression has been lifted a little bit, you're encouraged a little bit more, and you walk out of the assembly having greeted some people, and you go, you know, it's not such a bad day after all. I think I'm going to live. If that's what church does for you, you are blessed. You are blessed. Notice that Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, where it says, don't neglect the assembly, is not just merely a suggestion. It's not like the Hebrew writer says, well, you know, you might ought to consider this. He's entreating them because he's trying to help them see the importance of being together. But it's a command. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. That's a command, folks. It's a command, but it's a command with an entreaty. Here's why. Because we want it to spur us on to love and good works. Meeting with other Christians is good for us. We don't want to skip it. We don't want to skip it. Let me give you a parable. I spent a lot of years of my life in school. You probably have too. Sometimes I liked the teacher. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I was bored. Sometimes I was engaged. Sometimes I was anxious for school to start because I was excited we're going to have a party day or whatever it was going to be, a field trip. And other days I was just going, oh, do I have to go and take that test? Sometimes I thought school was wasting my time. Sometimes I liked my classmates and sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I liked the school lunch, but not very much. And when I got home from school, Mom would ask the proverbial question, what did you learn today?
Nothing.
But you know, as the years piled up, I did learn a thing or two. I'm a better person for the process. What would have happened to me if I only attended school half the time? Would I have ever graduated from high school? Probably not. Would I have graduated from college if I only went to class half the time? Definitely not. Each day seemed insignificant, but as a whole, they built me up. They made me an educated person, at least sometimes an educated person. Hiss or miss does not make it. Brothers and sisters, if you want your children to be Christians, you need to have them consistently in the worship and the class and the youth activities of church. Because the world is not going to give them faith. You will give them faith. And the activities they're involved in here will help give them faith. Hit or miss is a recipe for spiritual failure. Tommy Cunningham pointed this out to me a couple years ago. He used to work a lot with, you mind if I quote you on this, Tommy? He used to work a lot with the teens in the congregation. And he did a survey of the teens that were raised here at Lassen Street over the years and which ones are practicing Christians now and which ones weren't. And he found out something very startling. Only one who came only on Sunday morning to worship was a practicing Christian. Those who attended Wednesday nights had a much better chance of having faith as adults. Those who came only on Sunday mornings, most of them didn't keep the Christian faith. Now, I'll tell you, I understand that there's nothing that guarantees your children will have faith. But I will tell you this, having them involved regularly, consistently, in church activities, Bible classes, youth activities, classes, and worship is going to contribute to their spiritual growth, along with what you do at home. The non-Christian world has our kids for a lot of hours every week. To give our kids a fighting chance of faith, we've got to have them around godly people. It's not an option, folks. Too often what we're doing is saying, I'm going to be a little bit here and I'm going to be a little bit there. I know a lot of sports teams play on Sunday mornings now. I don't care for that. But you know, my kids never played sports on Sunday morning because they had a commitment to church. And I appreciate the fact that many of you are making that same commitment with your children. So since our non-Christian world has our kids so many hours, we need some time to influence them on spiritual things. We need to show them by our example as well as teach them by our words that being in Christ matters and spiritual things matter. It takes a village, in a sense, to raise a child, it's been said, and it takes the spiritual village of the Lord's church to raise a child. Your children need to know someone in this church as an adult, like an aunt or an uncle to them, that they have another person that they see as a Christian adult. Now let me go be a little personal. I grew up in a religiously mixed home. I'm a Christian because my mom's example and my participation with her in church activities. My father claimed to be an agnostic the time I was growing up. My mom was a faithful Christian. She was baptized at age 15 in a tent meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee. No, she wasn't perfect, but she was a good woman and a godly woman. And she saw that the importance of regular church attendance and involvement. And I was raised going to church with her. And she would help me to prepare my Bible classes before going to church. She'd get a lesson book and she'd quiz me on things and teach me things. My mother's example was a big part of why I'm a Christian today. Because statistically, if you come from a mixed marriage of a Christian and a non-Christian, it's a low percentage of those who are actually Christian children in that marriage. I'm an exception because my mom's example and steadfastness. But the second factor is the result of the first. Mom was always in church, and I was with her. Her commitment to the Lord was a commitment to church involvement. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, we were in church. I was fed by Bible teachers and preaching. You see, when I was growing up, for most of the time, my parents had one car, and they had to share that. And Dad got it to go to work, and Dad got it to go fishing on Saturdays. But Mom had it reserved for Sunday and for Wednesday night, because those were church nights, because it mattered. On vacation, Mom insisted that we stop at a church on Sunday morning for worship. Dad would stay in the car and listen to the radio. And what mattered so much to my mom came to matter to me. I was baptized in middle school, did many church youth group activities. I found many friends within the church environment. I went to area wides. I chose to go to a Christian college because I wanted my faith fed by professors rather than ridiculed or ignored. I wanted to find Christian friends in college. My faith journey began because Mom took me to church regularly and consistently. I caught it, and I was taught it. And that makes the difference. Now here's the reality. I'm not quite ready for that one. It's your personal choice to buck the trend. America is largely abandoning the church. 3/4 of the people are not going to be in church. Hardly at all. A little bit. But brothers and sisters, we can buck that trend. Because we're not going to be conformed to the ways of the world. We're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which occurs when we come together in worship and study and fellowship. And our values are put back in place. And our logs of faith are put back in the fire of faith. And we begin to glow again. And we need these times together, brothers and sisters. Culture is a powerful force. It's so easy to mindlessly follow culture rather than intentionally follow Christ. And that's my point. The only way we can buck the trend of neglecting church in America is to be extremely intentional about our priorities. Not willy-nilly, not a little bit in, a little bit out, but extremely intentional. So we're back to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I dare not put my life on autopilot and just follow what I hear around me in the world. I must regularly come back to God's word and God's people to orient my life to spiritual truth. I wish I could wave a wand and change the priorities of every American, but it doesn't work that way. The only person I can change is myself. The fact that you're in church today is your vote, again, that this matters. Thank you for being here today. And thank you for listening for this reminder of the importance of why we gather regularly and often. There's a challenge I have for you. It's called a 60-day challenge. You remember the ice bucket challenge came out? Well, this one isn't nearly as difficult. And you're not going to freeze because we're going to turn the heaters on. But you know what? If you'll be in church for 60 days, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, for 60 days, and then evaluate whether it makes a difference in your life, if you're blessed. You might be surprised. I encourage you and beg with you to take that challenge. Be regular in your attendance and your participation in the services of the church, the work of the church, and let's build our faith together by God's strength. We've talked about the importance of being in church this morning. But that's not the only commitment that's important. You've heard this little one from me before. Sitting in a church won't make you a Christian anymore, and sitting in a hen house makes you a hen. You know, you're not chicken just because you go in to the chicken house. You're chicken because you're born a chicken. And you're a child of God if you're born a child of God. Born again a child of God. Can I say it that way? It's great for having folks visit our congregation who are not yet baptized into Christ. But just coming to church doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. He saves you by his blood. The church helps keep you saved. helps keep you in touch with spiritual realities and feeds your faith. But you need to be in Christ, not just in a church building. You've got to be born again. Being born again of water and the Spirit. Being born again of water, of course, is Christian baptism, the Spirit of God sending His Holy Spirit to live within us when we answer His call in repentance and faith and are baptized. This morning, what is your commitment for the new year? If you're not in Christ, isn't today the best day to start the journey of faith? Begin by being baptized into Christ, but then also commit yourself to say, I want to be a part of a body of Christ. Not just sometimes, but regularly, because I need to be fed. I need to be encouraged. And I want to encourage others. If we can help you respond to the gospel of Christ in Christian baptism for our prayers of this body, we just want to do God's will in 2019, don't we? You can do it this morning. You can start the journey this morning. Do it now. Let's stand and sing.